Linaca paver arrives in Africa. Now pharma dealmakers hunt for companies that can actually deliver it. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde, and number 9,650, Gilead and hashtag X27's Linaca paver deployment in Zambia in May 2026 represents a test case for delivering HIV prevention to 1.2 million Zambians, revealing structural barriers that cause global health assets to trade at discounts to domestic pharmaceutical portfolios. The FDA approved Hepcludex, Bulevirtide GMod, on May 22, 2026 for chronic hepatitis delta virus infection, achieving a 48% combined response rate at 48 weeks with 50% undetectable viral RNA by week 144, demonstrating open regulatory pathways for novel antivirals. Pharmaceutical gross margins exceeding 80% in developed markets can invert entirely in emerging markets like Zambia due to last-mile delivery costs, theft, and counterfeits, causing specialty pharma acquirers to bifurcate assets with and hashtag X27, access and hashtag X27, portfolios trading at steep discounts despite larger patient populations. Gilead's powerful HIV prevention drug has arrived in a country with one of Africa's highest infection rates. The question isn't whether Linaca paver works, but whether the pharmaceutical industry's traditional distribution model can actually deliver innovation to the 1.2 million Zambians who need it, and what that means for the next wave of specialty pharma mergers and acquisitions in emerging markets. The deployment of Linaca paver in Zambia in May 2026 marks a critical test case for how breakthrough therapies navigate the chasm between regulatory approval and patient access in frontier markets. While Linaca paver represents a genuine advance in HIV treatment, the structural barriers to distribution in sub-Saharan Africa reveal why global health assets consistently trade at discounts to domestic pharmaceutical portfolios, and why access-focused distribution platforms are emerging as acquisition targets. This development unfolds against a backdrop of renewed regulatory momentum for infectious disease therapies. The FDA's May 22, 2026 approval of Hepcludex, Bulevirtide GMod, for chronic hepatitis delta virus infection demonstrates continued agency prioritization of treatments for serious viral conditions with limited therapeutic options. That approval, the first for HDV infection, achieved a 48% combined response rate at 48 weeks in its pivotal trial, with undetectable viral RNA reaching 50% by week 144. The precedent matters. Regulatory paths for novel antiviral mechanisms are open, but commercial success hinges on solving distribution economics. The contradiction is stark. Pharmaceutical innovation has never been stronger for infectious disease. But deployment infrastructure in high-burden markets remains fractured, creating a valuation gap that private capital is beginning to exploit. The access economics that break traditional pharma models. Zambia's HIV burden sits at approximately 1.2 million infected individuals in a population of 19 million, one of the highest prevalence rates globally. Linaca paver, a long-acting injectable requiring dosing only twice yearly, offers a transformative improvement over daily oral regimens that struggle with adherence in resource-limited settings. The clinical case is unassailable. The commercial case is not. Traditional pharmaceutical distribution relies on established pharmacy networks, cold-chain logistics, trained prescribers, and patient financing mechanisms. Zambia possesses few of these at scale. The result, a $40 billion global market for HIV therapeutics fragments into dozens of micro-markets where unit economics collapse. Gross margins that exceed 80% in developed markets can invert entirely when faced with last-mile delivery costs, theft, counterfeit competition, and payment collection challenges. This explains why specialty pharmaceutical acquirers increasingly bifurcate assets into commercial and access portfolios. The former command premium multiples, 15x to 20x EBITDA for assets with strong US and European penetration. The latter trade at steep discounts or are spun into non-profit partnerships, even when patient populations dwarf Western markets. The Hepcludex approval illustrates this dynamic from a different angle. HDV infection occurs only in patients with hepatitis B, creating a narrower but still significant patient population. The FDA noted that some risk factors for HDV include injection drug use and occupational blood exposure, populations concentrated in both developed and emerging markets. Yet commercial strategies will inevitably prioritize markets with reimbursement infrastructure, leaving high-burden, low-infrastructure regions underserved despite medical need. Indian hospital chain Signal Where Capital is moving. Max Healthcare Institute's May 22, 2026 earnings provide a telling counterpoint. The Indian hospital chain reported consolidated profit after tax of 387 crore rupees for the quarter ended March 31, 2026, up 3% year-over-year from 376 crore rupees. Gross revenue rose 10% to 2,664 crore rupees. Despite steady operational metrics including 75% bed occupancy and 8% growth in occupied bed days, shares fell over 6%, closing at 1,023.25 rupees. The market reaction reflects margin pressure even as the company approved a 1,400 crore rupee investment for a 712-bed Greenfield Hospital in Lucknow, expected to commission in fiscal year 2030. For full fiscal year 2026, network gross revenue reached 10,538 crore rupees with profit after tax rising 22% to 1,631 crore rupees from 1,336 crore rupees in fiscal 2025. What does an Indian hospital chain's quarterly performance have to do with HIV drug distribution in Zambia? Everything. Max Healthcare's model represents the infrastructure layer that emerging markets are building to absorb advanced therapeutics. Average revenue per occupied bed stood at 77,900 rupees in Q4 fiscal 2026 versus 77,100 rupees year ago, reflecting marginal improvement but persistent pricing constraints. These economics define what pharmaceutical distributors can extract from emerging market deployments. Private equity has taken notice. Hospital chains and diagnostic networks in Asia and Africa are attracting acquirers not for their current margins, which remain compressed, but for their position as the physical infrastructure through which the next decade of pharmaceutical innovation must flow. Lenacapavir needs clinics with cold storage, trained staff, and patient tracking systems. Max Healthcare operates 712-bed facilities with modern supply chains. The valuation gap between pharmaceutical assets and healthcare infrastructure assets in emerging markets is narrowing because the former cannot reach patients without the latter. The manufacturing arbitrage that could unlock access to lenacapavir's chemical complexity creates natural barriers to generic competition, but also to scaled manufacturing. Long-acting injectables require specialized production capabilities that few contract manufacturers possess. This is where mergers and acquisitions activity is heating up, though largely outside public view. Indian and Chinese pharmaceutical manufacturers are acquiring or partnering with specialty formulation houses specifically to produce long-acting antivirals. The economic logic, secure voluntary or compulsory licenses for drugs like lenacapavir, manufacture at a fraction of Western costs, and distribute through emerging healthcare networks. Gross margins compress from 80% to 40%, but addressable patient populations expand by orders of magnitude. This manufacturing arbitrage underpins recent private equity interest in specialty generic platforms. Firms are assembling portfolios of complex formulation capabilities, refrigerated distribution networks, and regulatory expertise in frontier markets. The thesis, as drugs like lenacapavir prove efficacy but struggle with access, manufacturers who can deliver at one-tenth the cost become strategic assets to originator companies seeking volume-based returns or to governments demanding local supply chains. The Hepcludex case offers a parallel. With HDV infection requiring chronic treatment in populations that include injection drug users, the drug faces adherence and access challenges similar to HIV therapies. Bulevirtide achieved undetectable HDV RNA in 20% of patients at week 48, rising to 50% by week 144. Sustained treatment is essential, creating the same last-mile challenge. How do you keep patients on therapy when infrastructure is limited and costs are high? Generic manufacturers targeting emerging markets will study lenacapavir's distribution struggles and position themselves as solutions for the next wave of long-acting antivirals. What this signals for healthcare mergers and acquisitions strategy: three deal types are emerging from these dynamics, all relevant to institutional allocators' positioning in healthcare. First, bolt-on acquisitions of distribution infrastructure in high-burden markets. Expect pharmaceutical platforms to acquire or take minority stakes in hospital chains, diagnostic networks, and cold chain logistics providers in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. These deals trade at 8x to 12x EBITDA, below typical pharma multiples, but provide optionality on access markets that represent 60% of global disease burden. Second, consolidation among specialty generic manufacturers capable of producing complex formulations. Long-acting injectables, biologics, and combination therapies require capabilities that only a few dozen manufacturers globally possess. Private equity is building platforms by rolling up formulation houses, particularly in India. These assets become strategic to both originator companies, as licensed manufacturers, and governments, as domestic supply. Third, data and patient engagement platforms that solve adherence in resource-limited settings. Mobile health applications, community health worker networks, and patient tracking systems are attracting venture and growth equity capital. When a drug requires twice-yearly dosing but patients live hours from clinics, the technology layer that schedules, reminds, and transports becomes mission-critical. These platforms lack the margins of pharmaceutical assets but carry software like scalability once deployed. The Plaquemium view the Linacapavir deployment in Zambia is not a product launch. It is a stress test of whether pharmaceutical innovation can escape the gravitational pull of developed market economics. Our view, it cannot, under current models. But the failure itself creates opportunity. Institutional capital should focus on the infrastructure and manufacturing layers that sit between molecule and patient. Hospital chains like Max Healthcare, despite margin pressure, are building the physical networks through which innovation flows. Specialty generic manufacturers are acquiring the formulation capabilities that make access economically viable. Data platforms are solving the last-mile adherence problem that determines whether therapies work in practice versus trials. The Hepcludex approval reinforces this thesis. Chronic viral infections requiring sustained treatment expose the same distribution fragility as HIV. The FDA will continue approving breakthrough therapies. The market will continue struggling to deliver them. That gap is where returns concentrate. What we are witnessing is the unbundling of pharmaceutical value chains. R&D and regulatory capabilities stay with originator companies and high-cost markets. Manufacturing, distribution, and patient engagement migrate to specialized platforms in emerging markets. Mergers and acquisitions activity will accelerate at the seams where these capabilities must reconnect. For private equity, this suggests overweighting healthcare infrastructure in Asia and Africa over pharmaceutical assets themselves. The next decade's alpha comes not from owning the drugs, but from owning the rails on which they travel. Linacapavir's Zambia launch will likely underscore access challenges more than successes. That makes the infrastructure thesis stronger, not weaker. The bottom line: Linacapavir's arrival in Zambia will be studied more for what it reveals about distribution economics than for its clinical efficacy. The drug works. The question is whether the pharmaceutical industry's traditional commercial model can deliver it to the patients who need it most, or whether new infrastructure intermediaries must emerge to bridge the gap. For institutional allocators, the implication is clear. Healthcare mergers and acquisitions in emerging markets is shifting from a pure pharmaceutical play to an infrastructure arbitrage. Hospital chains, specialty manufacturers, and patient engagement platforms represent the picks and shovels bet on a global health system straining to absorb innovation faster than it can distribute it. Max Healthcare's margin pressure and continued expansion signal where the bottleneck sits. Linacapavir's Zambia deployment will confirm it. Expect distribution-focused bolt-ons, manufacturing platform roll-ups, and minority stakes in emerging market healthcare networks to define the next 24 months of deal flow. The drugs are approved. The patients are identified. The money is in building the bridge between them.